That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Monday. Hope everyone had a fabulous holiday weekend. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I had a great holiday weekend. I've missed everyone here at The Toast. It's been a nice break, but I'm so excited and ready and happy to be back. I can't believe Thanksgiving was like 4 days ago and we haven't spoken since Thanksgiving.
No, and also the way we like left the episode on Wednesday with, I didn't even realize people were so invested in the Dear Toaster saga. Like the way we just did that and then I'm not having another episode until Monday. And thank God we got an update. So if you're following us on Instagram, good for you because you weren't left wondering all weekend what happened to the girl with her dog. We posted an update and it was really jarring.
She got her dog back. She made her husband listen to the episode so he could see how psychotic his behavior was. And two people who have no particular stake in the matter think that his behavior is wild. So maybe sometimes you just have to see yourself. Sometimes you need a big mirror.
And where he left the dog, for those wondering, he hired a dog sitter on Rover, which is like fine, but like not really. You know?
Not really.
It's like a stranger.
Not when you have two like loving parents at home who are available and wanting to be with their dog.
Right. Right. So it was a fabulous holiday weekend. I saw you really turned it out with your hosting skills. It looked beautiful.
It was. It all really went according to plan. Like I did so much prep the night before, as much as I could do. I actually wish that I had done even more and I definitely had some learnings for next year. Like first, biggest learning is all of the herbs. I would pre-chop all of them. I would have a bowl that was rosemary, a bowl that was thyme, because chopping it per recipe was brutal. And that was like one of the tedious things that really got to me. So I'd have a huge bowl of chopped thyme, chopped rosemary, chopped oregano, whatever chops are needed. Cause I did prep most of the veggies. Like I sliced all of my squash with my mandolin. Did you see my circular squash? I did those sweet potato stacks. They were really, really cool. And I did as much as I could, but I probably could have done even more prep. But the day of cooking was so much fun. Olivia came over with the kids. We cooked even more. It was just really like a classic Thanksgiving. And I do feel like Thanksgiving changes once you have kids. Mm-hmm. It just takes on a whole new meaning. And also you want to start like new traditions. And it's just really fun and really sweet. And I have to say, we watched the parade from start to finish because we are now up at those hours. And it was so amazing. First of all, Harry's not someone that you could just like put in front, at least not yet. I think he's still a little young. You can't like put in front of the TV yet and he's entranced for more than 5 minutes. He loved the parade. The way he loved this parade, I've never really seen him so invested in something. It made me want to set new goals for myself and work really hard so that I can go to the parade one day like for work and get like a backstage access.
Or we could get someone's apartment on Central Park West.
Did you see there were a few people who tagged us in their setups? They didn't invite us, but they tagged us.
No, they did not.
Bragging about their setups. But no, of course, he would never turn down a park view and sitting next to a fireplace, all cozied up. But like, I want to get us on the sidelines one year. And I feel like as a podcaster, as a host, as an influencer, like it's not that crazy. There are so many different like brands and networks that like activate there. And so that's a new goal of mine. And I don't want to be like in the back row. Like Harry doesn't. Like,
no, well, let me tell you. Like, it's a great goal.
Sideline or bust.
It's a great goal, but I do think it's worth mentioning that, like, I think the Thanksgiving Day Parade is, like many, you know, big televised events, like, actually better to watch from home. Like the Super Bowl, you know, it's a lot of people's, you know, dream to go to the Super Bowl. Let me tell you, I've been twice, and it's way better on TV. You don't even get to see the commercials when you're there. Good luck seeing the halftime show. It's not like a concert. It's made for TV. The microphones aren't even on. They're plugged into the TV. Yeah,
but the experience is better. Like, honestly, when we went to the Super Bowl, that was a much more amazing experience than having a Super Bowl party at home. If I was someone who's so invested in the game and don't want a distraction, I just want to be like zoomed in on my favorite players, yeah, I probably want to watch from home, but it was the experience. But I do think those seats, those stands where their people are, where the performers perform in one part of the parade and then there's like bleachers behind them, those seats or bust, because those people get the performances. It's up close. There's not that many seats. So that's what I'm interested in, or bust.
For me, the Super Bowl, like the weekend was so fun, like because it was very like celebrity, like pop in, and there was lots of cool events. But when it comes to actually like watching something, I think a lot of the times it's better to do from home. Like even the Thanksgiving Day parade, we've went to the parade because we live in New York, obviously. We've like, you know, tried to like spectate. Every street is closed. It's freezing. You can never get to where you need to go. It's like low-key torture. I just think it's one of those things that might be better in theory than in practice.
I'm saying like I want to get to Al Roker's seat and then you can enjoy the parade.
I think I'd rather be caught like at Central Park West on someone's gorgeous balcony with a fireplace, a spread of food. You know, I think that's more my vibe.
Now there's an outdoor fireplace on the balcony. Now there's an outdoor fireplace on the balcony.
Did I say that?
You said, yeah, in someone's balcony with a fireplace.
Well, yeah, if they have a balcony, I could go outside. I get a little cold. I go inside to the fireplace. There's a smorgasbord inside. Maybe we're playing board games. We're listening to music. It's very comfortable. But then if I really wanted to like really see the balloons up close, I'd go on their gorgeous balcony.
Understood.
I'm not picky, though. If you have a balcony or not a balcony, you could still invite me. I need to see pics before.
Maybe next year we'll have like more generous toasters who want to invite you to their setup, because people were tagging us in their gorgeous setups, but nary an invite was scored.
Nary an invite. But that's the thing. It's like, if somebody actually had invited me to like a premium spot, I would have had to show up 2 days before because the streets are closed. Like, you can't even get to your building when you actually live near the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It is laced with a little bit of torture.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
And it's cold.
I had one more thought about, oh no, I had a lingering question. When was the second time you went to the Super Bowl?
We went to Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah, of course. Could never forget.
Did we only do it once, the breath?
Yeah, it was a moment in time.
Oh, really? I don't know why I thought we went, like, it was something we did, like, CMAs, like, every year.
No, I know I only went once, but I thought maybe you went another time.
No, then I've only been with you. Right? Hmm.
Yeah, I've only been once.
Oh, okay, I guess I've only been once. And it was enough for me, honestly, Diana.
No, I like got the experience. It was amazing. So glad that I had it. I'm not running to do it again.
Right. And after the holiday, I went to Brian's horse farm. And when I tell you I'm not okay, I did not realize, like when I was riding the horse, I went riding on Saturday, how incapacitated I would be. When I tell you I can't even sit on the toilet, like I'm in so much pain right now, the back of my thighs, it's like, it's a tightness I've never felt. Like the way this horse was just throwing me around, and it was fun until I woke up the next morning. I'm not okay.
How long was your ride?
30 minutes.
Damn. It's a lot of leg muscle.
I was trotting, and trotting is like you have to hoist yourself up and your legs. And I'm feeling every bounce.
Is Snitch as well?
No, Snitch is totally fine. Maybe that's because she actually works out and like, for me, I was exercising muscles in the back of my legs that haven't been exercised since I was in the womb.
Did Ben horseback ride?
No. He's not into it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like he tries everything. It's
so scary.
It is scary, no. But I mean, not in such a controlled environment.
No, actually, Ben doesn't try everything. Like, Ben very much gives into his fears. Like, for my 21st birthday, Ben planned this, like, twisted day where, like, we went to a trampoline park, we went to a trapeze class, and we also went to somewhere else. And in the trapeze class, like you have to climb up this rickety ass ladder. It's like 100 feet in the air. The ladder is the scariest part of the trip. And then once you get up there, you just jump up into the net. Ben went up the ladder, got up there, and went back down the ladder, which is scarier than just jumping off.
I have an image seared in my mind of Ben hanging from the thing.
So that was a different time. So in our family, we have this like inside joke about this one picture of Ben, because when Ben was working at an ad agency like 10 years ago, they did like a team offsite, like team building, where they went trapezing, and he did it then. And he's wearing this harness and he's flying through the air and they take a picture of him. It's like a souvenir. And Ben looks so weird in the photo. Like, it doesn't even look like him. I think actually Olivia has posted it on her Instagram before, like for Ben's birthday. Our family, we're obsessed with this photo. You guys, when I tell you, it does not look like Ben. And he was wearing this harness that was like really digging into his hips and giving him like kind of like a feminine physique. And it's just the funniest fucking picture. So that's the image you're thinking of. But when me and Ben trapeze, that was after that. And it was, Ben did not do it.
By the way, you guys are so similar because that's literally you with the leap of faith.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we all went to Atlantis. We used to love Atlantis and we did the leap of faith. And Claudia, the first time we went, she did not do it. She never did it with us. And then you once went back with Ben and you did it.
No, I didn't go back with Ben. I went back with my friends from high school in the 11th grade. And let me tell you something about that dumb fucking water slide. Not worth it. Don't do it. Like, everyone in the family was like making fun of me. Like, can't believe you didn't do it. I was like, okay. And then I did it. I'm like, this shit sucks. Like, I got a fucking wedgie. I didn't even get a good picture of myself going down the slide because like I was taking pictures on a digital camera. I'm like, this is the thing my sisters like tormented me for all these years. It fucking blows.
I mean, it's not the greatest ride of all time. But
it's a vertical water slide.
It's like, a leap of faith. And you're taking it, yeah, or you're not.
Yeah. And I took it. I was like, okay, now what?
And also, it's so many stairs that when you do get to the top, it behooves you to just go down the slide, then go back down the stairs.
I actually don't remember it being such a treacherous journey down.
How do you think you get up?
No, I'm saying, like, I don't remember the stairs being, because you know me, like, I'll avoid stairs at all costs. But it wasn't, like, that crazy of a set of stairs, because if it was, I would have gone down the slide.
Okay, I remember it was extremely scary.
No, they were definitely stairs, but they weren't like crazy steep. They were like wide and shallow. No, like I remember life like by the stairs I had to take, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost like 100% sure they weren't that crazy.
But think about how tall the thing is, and the whole way up is stairs. So even if they're not like horrible stairs, it's a lot of stairs.
Yeah, it was better than going down the dumbass fucking slide.
Okay.
It was literally so dumb. Like the whole trip, oh God, I'm going to do it. Like, shut up.
Sorry,
oh,
I didn't mean to trigger you. We haven't.
No, actually, I'm glad you brought it up because honestly, it makes the sisters look bad. It doesn't make me look bad. Like the way everybody was fucking dragging me to filth the whole vacation. And we used to love Atlantis. We would go back every year and it was like every year. Like, man, we're glad in it. Shut the fuck up, you ugly wenches. Okay. It's not a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's. And then I did it. And then I did it when I was like 16. I was like grown. I was like, you know what? Everyone dragged me. Like, let's just fucking do it. And you know what? It was a big nothing burger, a big waste of my time.
Damn. But literally.
And I still have carpet burn on my butthole from the way my underwear went riding up.
That's what sisters are for.
No, like seriously, fuck you guys. Like the way you literally made me sick. You literally tortured me over this stupid fucking slide.
If you don't feel that way about your sisters at some point in your life, then you're just not sisters.
No, that's definitely true.
You know, and we don't really fight much as adults. No. So we got it all out on the leap of faith.
We got it all out on the slide.
We did. Leave it on the slide. We should go back.
No, we felt like Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Of course.
When we went, like the first time, we were so excited. That's like whenever we had a family vacation, there was no place else we wanted to go. Like
we literally were obsessed. Atlantis or
bust. Obsessed.
It's an amazing resort. So. It's an amazing resort. Like they really have everything for the kids, for the campers, for the parents. Like there's casinos. So like when right. you take your
so
kids,
we went back,
you can get lit.
We went back in 2017, right before my wedding for like a little family getaway.
But we went to the Cove, which is the adult right, hotel.
So I think if we went back to Atlantis proper now, we would think it's like kind of like gross because it's like it's really for kids.
Yeah, no, but
They have a new facility called the Cove, which is like adults only. I think you have to be 21 plus. They have their own pools and it's really premium.
No, but now like you wait until you have kids and then you go again with your kids right. and then it's a whole nother experience again. I can't say enough good things about the Atlantis, even though the new hotel in the Bahamas where we went for my bachelorette is giving it a run for its money. But
Bahamar.
For like the young professionals crew, not families as much because they don't have the leap of faith.
So I did the leap of faith. Like that's all to say. Great. I'm so glad I did it.
You conquered your fears, McClard.
No, I've conquered my fears, especially when I travel with Brian. Like he's always like, you know, making me face my fears. And like, it does feel really good afterwards. Like you feel really proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember feeling that with the leap of faith. I actually remember like feeling a lot of resentment for like my childhood trauma. I think that's kind of what took over. But it is really nice as an adult to actually face your fears, like you with your driving.
Yes, I'm on the cusp of getting my license, you guys, and it's so crazy. This thing that has evaded me and tortured me for like 15 years soon, hopefully, will be at an end. And then the world is my oyster. It's just a really crazy feeling. I can't explain.
Like, you could run away if you wanted to.
I'm hoping to. Well, I could always have done that. Called an Uber. I'm hoping to have my paperwork like by the end of the year. That's my goal. And then this will be like the first time in 15 years that getting my license is not my New Year's resolution.
I think that's beautiful.
And all it took was 15 years.
That's it.
You know what? We're getting into that time of year, especially now that Thanksgiving's over. Like, no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, like, it's the holiday season. Before, right. Some people are like, it's too soon. Like, everyone. No, but now we're officially in the Hollywood season.
Hollywood.
And it's getting into, like, it's that incredible. Resolutions, end of year nostalgia era. And we mm-hmm. need to start thinking about our resolutions.
I know. I mean, I'm a perfect person, so I don't have resolutions. But if I did, it would be to invest more in myself. Mm. And speaking of investing more in yourself, today's episode is sponsored by Boll & Branch. The holidays are the most exciting time of the year. And if you want to enjoy them to the fullest, you'll need to get your best sleep every night. It's easier than it sounds. All you need are the softest, most luxurious organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. They are made from the finest 100% organic cotton threads on earth. They make a difference that you can truly feel night after night. So we are Boll & Branch girlies. My household is Boll & Branch, as is Jackie's. There's really no greater set of sheets on earth. Jackie and I both have the signature hemmed collection from Boll & Branch. My duvet, my throw blanket, my pillowcases, my fitted sheets, really everything on my bed is from Boll & Branch. And it's just been a glorious experience as a customer because I feel like they're really a great investment. They get better through every single wash. And they're free from toxins, pesticides, harsh chemicals, and they're made by artisans who are actually earning the pay and the respect that they deserve. So you know that they're ethically made, ethically sourced. And that feels good knowing that, like, you're going to take a gorgeous snap on a gorgeous set of sheets that was made the right way, you know? And also, today's Cyber Monday. So make sure to listen to all of the ads, especially this one, because Cyber Monday, you can get a better night's sleep and gift it to everyone on your list with Boll & Branch sheets. So it's 25% off site-wide plus free shipping when you use promo code TOAST at BollAndBranch.com. That's BOLLAND branch.com. That promo code is TOAST for free shipping, and the entire website is currently 25% off. Offer ends December 4th. If you've been putting off kind of refreshing your bed, or you're looking for a great gift for someone who's like a homemaker, BollAndBranch.com. Use code TOAST for free shipping. The entire website is off 25% off for Cyber Monday, and you don't want to miss it. Today's episode is also sponsored by Skylight Frames. For a really special gift for the special people in your life, you've got to check out the Skylight Frame. So if you're looking for a good gift idea that your parents or in-laws will genuinely love, look no further than the Skylight Frame. A photo frame you can update instantly by email from anywhere. So it's a digital frame, and it's a great way to feel close to those you love even when you're separated. It sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. Just plug it in, use the touchscreen to connect to your wireless network, and then enjoy. If you want to send photos to the frame, it's super easy. Everyone in the family can use the app, or you can email the photos from your phone and they'll pop up in seconds. Multiple people can send photos to the frame, so it's a great way to keep large networks of friends and families in touch. It's a black frame with a white mat, so it looks like a real photo frame, and it adds a beautiful touch to your home. It's timeless. The vibrant touchscreen lets you swipe through photos. You can even tap to send a little like, a little heart to the person who sent the photo. They have two options in terms of sizes, the 10-inch and the 15-inch. I have the 15-inch, and Ben's parents have the 10-inch. It's such a thoughtful gift for parents. And even if they're not really tech savvy, it's so easy. They also have 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So if you don't love your skylight, they'll offer you a full refund. As a special offer, you can get $15 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com. Enter code TOAST. That's $15 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com. Code TOAST, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. Promo code TOAST. I have to say, over the weekend, we got like a million posts in our Facebook group asking for the Skylight Frame code. So guys, it's skylightframe.com. The promo code is TOAST for $15 off. It's an amazing gift for an in-law, honestly.
Amazing.
In-laws are really hard to shop for.
Amazing gift. Also, it's Cyber Monday. Like, do you have anything that you're going to be getting aside from Boll & Branch sheets and a Skylight Frame?
The thing is, when like Thanksgiving or like Black Friday or even like Prime Day comes around, I'm always like, I don't need anything. And then like, I do need shit. I really should have started keeping a list.
We did that this year.
It's a mistake because I'm like, I don't need anything. I'm so blessed, but I really do need shit.
Yeah, we started a week ago just like thinking of like things that we need and waiting till Cyber Monday. So the list is only really two items, but important. New TV, we're getting that today. Mm. And I need new headphones for this job here. And so Cyber Monday.
Back to resolutions. I don't think I've actually ever had a resolution that I kept with, you know, except like, and of course, always every year my resolution is like, you know, eat a little healthier. But I started doing that over the summer. So it's not really a resolution.
Yeah, it wasn't like a January thing.
Right. I just feel like it's so cliche, you know, like I think like making a change in your life in July is more impressive than making a change in your life in January.
I agree. It is pretty cliche, but it's just a good like reminder to like reaffirm.
It's a good opportunity.
To reaffirm your goals and also just like to self-assess and be like, even if I don't change anything on January 2nd, just to, like know what I should change. Even if I don't do it, like you got to know.
I know, like not to be like so annoying. Like I really can't think of anything I really don't like about myself.
That's beautiful, McLeod.
I mean, I'm sure you could come up with like a list of things, or any of the listeners be like, Claudia, you should be a lot nicer. No, actually, I'm okay.
No, nothing comes to mind, a habit of yours that you could kick. Oh, I guess like, nah.
No, I know what you're going to say.
No, nah. But yeah, because you could do that whenever. It's not like dependent on the time of year.
Yeah, no. And like, I have a plan, you know?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, like, you know, my life is, you know, man plans, God laughs. But I have a schedule for my life. A rough idea, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, when the day comes that I decide to, like, start trying to get pregnant, which I don't think is going to be, like, super soon, but it's not, like, super far, I think I will leave all my shenanigans behind me. Mm-hmm. And until then, like, I'm going to go party. Like, I'm going to smoke a vape. Like, if somebody offers me a cigarette, like, maybe I'll fucking smoke it, you know? Like, because I can.
And
because
you're, that would look really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to be cool, so I have no choice other than to smoke a cigarette.
Totally.
Oh, so for today's show, we obviously have the Fast Five stories. I'm sure we're going to talk about Kim and Balenciaga. But we also have TV recap. I caught up on White Lotus this morning, and it's crazy. And you watched Yellowstone,
and I
correct?
Watched Yellowstone. Yes, another weekend where White Lotus evaded me. But I'm kind of liking, like, two birds, one stone.
Let me tell you something about White
Actually,
Lotus.
Actually, it's really two birds, two stones.
Right. Efficient. I think, like, this show, and specifically this season, will be so enjoyable to someone who binges it. Like, nothing really happens episode mm-hmm. over episode, but like watching it all as a unit, there's a lot of excitement. But like something finally crazy happened at like the last second of last night's episode. I'm like, thank God
That's
for this
exciting.
Incest, you know?
Yeah, did you watch anything else or read anything else good this weekend before we jump in?
Oh, you know what movie I saw for the first time? Age of Adeline.
Oh, when I saw Snitch was showing it to you, I didn't realize you hadn't seen it. And I had one thing to say. Spoiler alert. Dead calves.
No. I was very, very upset.
When we saw it as kids in the theater, we were verklempt beside ourselves.
I couldn't believe Margaret would. It was a cute movie. You know, like, I'd never seen it, whatever. I'd seen, like, things about it on TikTok. I knew, like, she never aged or whatever.
Yeah. It's like Tuck Everlasting with Blake Lively.
Right. I love Tuck Everlasting, and with, niche reference.
And with the guy, Dario Naharis.
From Game of Thrones, and Harrison Ford. So it was stacked, and it was very good. It was a cute movie, but like I don't know why they had to have the storyline of her like having cavaliers throughout her life and like watching them die a slow, painful death. It was so upsetting. And overall, I had to give the movie 0 stars because of it, even though it was like it was a fine film.
It's a fine film. That's all I remember from it. Obviously, it's star-studded, and it's a pleasure to watch. But, like, it will, especially if you are, and it's not just Cavaliers. Like, it's King Charles Cavalier Spaniels. And if that is your breed.
And they're Blenheim.
If that is your breed of choice, like, trigger warning.
Stay away.
Literal trigger warning.
Jackie, the second I saw the dog, I turned to Margo because I'm like, this dog's going to die. Because, like, oh, the dog's not eating. Like, I knew it.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a website you can go to called like doesthedogdie.com and you search the movie you're about to watch just to make sure like the dog doesn't die. And people use it as like a barometer for what they will watch and what they won't watch.
That's fucking funny.
I know. When I was talking on Instagram about how upset I was about this film, somebody messaged me. They were like, there's a website, doesthedogdie.com.
That's really funny. Okay, cool. Tip of the day.
Tip of the day.
Also, I did get some clarity about the King Charles Cavalier Spaniel and that episode of The Crown with the Romanovs and whether or not there was a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel that was murdered. And there was. Anastasia had a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel, and I read a whole ass book about her, and they never mentioned that. So you really can't trust what you're reading.
So true.
But
reading is bad.
On the plus side, there was one dog named Joy that escaped and wasn't murdered along with the others and went on to live like a royal life in England. Because like they knew he was the little boy's dog and he got the royal treatment over in the UK. So
that's beautiful.
That's something.
Something. So all in all, it was a fabulous weekend for both of us, I conclude, correct?
Yes, you may conclude. You may draw that conclusion.
Conclusion drawn. And I'm excited. We have a lot of stories and I have a lot of thoughts on the stories.
Me too. So without
I know you do.
Further ado.
Without further ado.
Where are the Streis brothers? Still not here. They had a jam-packed weekend full of holiday fun, full of getting scraps from Thanksgiving. Bruno is in heaven. Oh, it's his favorite holiday year after year. He scores big time. So for that reason, the tryptophan will not allow him to work.
Oh, let me tell you, the tryptophan like really hit me this year. I ate and then fell asleep on Ben's parents' couch.
Wow.
Like I couldn't believe it.
But how come there's no tryptophan when you have like turkey slices?
Such a good question. I think, by the way, I was trying to tell everyone. Oh, wait, hold on. I have to tell you that like on Wednesday night, me and Ben went out to dinner. And we actually haven't been out to dinner, just us two, in a really long time. So it was really nice. And, you know, we are married and we do spend like all of our time together. And like when I tell you, like, we don't always have like a million things to talk about, like I'm just being honest. And I brought up every single talking point from our Patreon episode of I was like, did you hear about the Beyond Meat Farm? I was literally like, and he thought I was like so smart. I didn't tell him how I knew all of this. And he never listens to the toast, so he'll never know. But I was literally like, we were talking about FTX. We were talking about condom usage. I was like throwing out these like really interesting stories that we could have like interesting conversation about, because earlier in the day, we recorded our annual Thanksgiving Patreon episode. And it was like, it was so helpful, like for me. And now I'm really realizing like why people have looked forward to the episode every year. Because like, if you cannot think of anything to talk about and you just listen to a podcast, like you're going to talk about what they talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, so true. Also with holiday season and just family time in general, that episode is extremely pertinent. It's like stories that people are talking about, so you can have like a little bit of knowledge on, but also just like some random stories and factoids that you can bring up at the table when there's a dearth of conversation or things are getting awkward. I got so many messages and saw comments from people being like, literally things got awkward and political and I brought up the Scrabble story and it completely diverted the conversation.
100%. And the episode is so entertaining because Jackie was being like particularly unhinged and people were eating it up. I was eating it up. So it's a great episode to listen to. And we dropped another Patreon this weekend. I've never filmed it before. I don't know why. I finally did like a full video on my hair, like from wet hair to styled hair, like all the products I use, my techniques. So that will live in perpetuity on the Patreon. So whenever anyone asks me, I'm like glad I have it filmed now. So it's a vlog. And then we have podcast episode. There's one more episode coming out this month. It's just a great time to be a Patreon member.
Totally. Zach and I went on a date night last week. We hadn't been on a date night in 6 months, so there was a lot to talk about. But we played a really fun game that if anyone who's going on a date night, new parents especially, and they're running out of things to talk about and it's time to pick up your phones, here's the game. Find the cutest picture of your kid on your phone, and then we choose who wins.
Honestly, that's so funny.
It was so much fun. Then we played round after round.
I saw this TikTok of this couple going out to dinner, like for the first time since having their baby, and they just spent the whole meal crying because they like somebody, the husband had like read a quote that like really like was like emotional for him, and he shared it with the wife, and then they spent the whole meal crying. One day you're going to pick up your child, like physically pick him up for the last time.
Oh, I was thinking about that recently, not about picking him up, but there's going to be like something. Oh, like one, like he was like crying through breakfast this morning. It was just like random. And I was like, one day he's going to cry like a baby for the last time. And then like the next time, you know, like how babies just cry like unreasonably.
Yeah.
And the next time like he cries, it will be because like there was something.
Something happened.
Right. But like not one day. I mean, I think kids cry for a while about nothing, but I was just thinking
you have that to look forward to.
I always think about that. Like one day is just going to be the last time I'm not even going to realize about something.
What a heavenly thought.
Yeah, but then you have new things to look forward to. He's going to do something for puberty. The first time.
Puberty.
He's going to do something for kids. The first time. Everyone just like don't settle. Like you could think of everything as like sad and like sentimental and negative or like positive and exciting and optimistic. Yeah.
I will say like when, you know, God willing, I should be blessed with having children and they're going through puberty. Like I will be leaving until they're better. Like I'm so not interested in like hormones and like their voices cracking and like I think with a girl, I could handle it because, like, I am a girl and, like, I just, if she's being a wench, like, I understand why and, like, gets her period. Like, I can help with that. But, like, I'm just literally not interested in, like, helping young people through puberty. It sounds miserable, even if I'm related to them.
Yes. But I also feel like I don't remember puberty as being, like, that miserable and that, like, moody for no reason. Like, I feel like anytime, like, we were all, like, moody or, like, unhappy or had something going on, like, there was tangible reasons as to why. And I read all these books about, like, kids going through puberty and they're just, like, monsters for no reason.
Yeah.
And I feel like, obviously, all kids are different. I feel like it's a little overhyped.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And they say that girls are actually more difficult to handle going through puberty. Boys, they have more physical changes, but it's less emotional. Girls, you're living with, like, a psychological terrorist.
Right, right. No, and then, like, there's just so many things, like bras, pads and tampons. Like, there's lots of accoutrement,
accessories. I think you'll be surprised at how equipped you are.
Yeah, because I'm just going to close my door. Like, seriously, you're going to act like that? I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Okay, well, now without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you do need to know on this glorious Monday as we usher in the holiday season.
You also need to knit it, that today's episode is brought to you by Thrive Cosmetics. They make high-performance beauty and skincare products with clean, skin-loving ingredients. This season, give gifts that give back with 45% off Thrive Cosmetics holiday sets for a limited time. So everyone knows the Liquid Lash Extensions mascara from Thrive Cosmetics. I bought it off of a Facebook ad like literally 10 years ago, and it's still one of the best mascaras that I own. I have very straight lashes, and I don't find really anything that helps except this Thrive Cosmetics mascara. Like, is that bitch, like, it's worth all the hype that it gets. So it's a vegan tubing mascara. It's their best-selling product. It's a proprietary tubing formula that dramatically lengthens each last lash from root to tip. It mimics the look of lash extensions but without the damaging glue or expensive salon prices. Also, their Brilliant Eye Brightener is a huge favorite for a lot of people. It's a cream to powder highlighter stick that brightens and opens your eyes, giving you an instant eye lift. You can apply it to the inner corner of your eyes and you look like you've had a restful sleep even if you had not. You could also use it as an eyeshadow for a perfect daytime glow, or use the metallic shade for an easy smoky eye. It's foolproof. It's a highlighter stick that makes it easy to apply and blend. So Thrive Cosmetics is great, but also Cosmetics is because they're a cause-driven platform, bigger than beauty. So for every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. They have over 300 giving partners across the country supporting numerous causes. Thrive Cosmetics actually is a good stocking stuffer because it fits in a stocking and it's really like a great gift. So celebrate the season of giving and try Thrive Cosmetics today. Right now you can get 45% off their best-selling products when you purchase select holiday sets by visiting thrivecosmetics.com/toast. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/toast to start shopping for the holiday sets.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
First story, Kim Kardashian has broken her silence on the controversy surrounding Balenciaga. So after days, we reported on Wednesday, the beginnings of this story, several ad campaigns. There's a new ad campaign from Balenciaga, and then people went into the archives and found former ad campaigns by Balenciaga that are extremely concerning. They're extremely concerning, and they concern child sexual abuse. It's been now 5 days since everything emerged, and Kim released a statement last night with her thoughts on the matter. She said, quote, I have been quiet for the past few days, not because I haven't been disgusted and outraged by the recent Balenciaga campaigns, but because I wanted an opportunity to speak to their team to understand for myself how this could have happened. As a mother of four, I have been shaken by the disturbing images. The safety of children must be held with the highest regard, and any attempts to normalize child abuse of any kind should have no place in our society, period. I appreciate Balenciaga's removal of the campaigns and apology. In speaking with them, I believe they understand the seriousness of the issue and will take the necessary measures for this to never happen again. Then 40 minutes later, she posted 52 minutes later, she posted, as for my future with Balenciaga, I am currently reevaluating my relationship with the brand, basing it off their willingness to accept accountability for something that should have never happened to begin with and the actions I'm expecting to see them take to protect children.
Okay, so I feel like this is a really layered issue, but I do want to just say, like, my overall sentiment towards Kim's reaction to this is, wow, like, what a letdown. I mean, it's not like a hot take whether this is like right or wrong. Like this is uncategorically, if that's a word, wrong. And
categorically wrong.
Sure. I respect the hustle. Like for me, like I get throwing your values out the window for some money. Like I really do. Like I can be bought, but I feel like we draw the line at children. We draw the line at children. Yeah. So I feel so disappointed in Kim. Like her first statement was trash. Then she deleted it and re-uploaded it and added disgusted.
Disgusted.
Like literally she added one word. Then I guess she saw like the immediate reaction from people was like, you're kidding, right? And because she didn't even address her relationship with the brand in the first statement. Then an hour later put up something like to appease people. And it was still not even remotely taking a stand. And I just really want to point out like people being like, well, I thought you guys are against cancel culture. Like this is not cancel culture. Like this is so twisted and sick. Like
no, it's okay. Like this is not cancel culture whatsoever. Like that would be like us being like, against being anti-Jeffrey Epstein because we're right. anti-cancel culture. Like,
right. No, this is so like a disgusting. Full-blown crime. Like, let's not get it twisted. This isn't the same as somebody's tweets like, from 10 years ago.
There's not, I guess we don't have a line in our society anymore that's very clear cut, but for me it will always be, like, it is, do you protect children? Are you exploiting children? This is so inappropriate. For me with Kim, like anything short of I will no longer be associating with this nasty ass brand is a big fat nope for me. Mm-hmm. I really like I'm so disappointed, I guess is the word. And I'm also just like icked the fuck out. I also want to say like this Balenciaga era that she was in like doesn't give much to begin with. So the fact that she can't walk away from it is lame as fuck. The clothes are ugly. The looks are done. They're old and they're tired. And this would have been a great, honestly, excuse for her to be done with the whole thing in general because it's been old and tired for a while. Sure, there's probably contractual reasons why she can't just walk away, but Kim's a billionaire. Fucking figure it out. Totally. And I'm really like, I find this nasty.
No, I know. And like, and I do want to say like,
by the way, if, I mean, not Balenciaga, because they're clearly, you know, don't know where the line is with child sexual abuse. But if this was a brand who had hired a spokesperson and the spokesperson had behaved nefariously, they would have canceled her in 2 fucking seconds. So why doesn't it ever work the other way?
Right. The difference here is like when a spokesperson, like usually we have these situations where it's like the spokesperson is the one who's in hot water and the brand can drop the spokesperson. I can't remember a time in recent history where the spokesperson dropped the brand. So this is like uncharted territories. I was thinking the same thing. And also like I hate everything that Kim did. And I think it's like, I agree 100% disappointing, but I also think it's important to remember there's so many celebrities who work with Alexa Demi, Nicole Kidman, literally like, we need to have that energy for everyone. And Kim deserves, you know, more of the conversation because she's Kim.
No, and also like the Alexa Demi fans can go and hold her accountable. Right. Like I am a Kim fan, like everyone else. I mean, maybe Nicole Kidman, like, yeah, say something, no, girl,
Nicole,
I love you.
For real, like I love but you like, more than anything.
Everyone else, yeah, their fans should hold them accountable and want to see better from them and the brands that they associate with. For me, like that's Kim for me. And so I'm really only invested in what she has to say because I care about her in general.
Yeah, agreed. I think this whole saga is so weird because, you know, people on the internet, especially celebrities, like they love to use their platform to like, you know, galvanize around an issue. And I would say this is a rather large issue. And I just think like the silence from every single celebrity except for Lala Kent is so shocking to me because I get it. Like, you know, in most situations, you don't want to like drag a brand because, you know, you work with them or they gift you clothes or you get paid by them. But like, I feel like when it comes to children, like all that gets thrown out the window and we all just do the right thing.
Right. And it's not like it was just the the teddy bears wearing harnesses and then photographed with children. Like, not that I want to make any sort of excuse, but maybe just some things like slip through the cracks and maybe there are a bunch of dummies there who didn't realize. But this is like so layered and goes back pretty far. So it's not just like Kim said, like, you know, they made a mistake and they're accountable and they're going to do better. Like this is kind of like years and years of whatever predator or predators are within like and high up at Balenciaga, like are doing this intentionally. If you guys haven't seen all the other evidence that has come forward, it was the Supreme Court document on the Adidas collab bag. It was the model in the office with books and one of the they're like coffee table books, and one of the artists is like known for, you can't even look at the images on Google. They're so perverse and they're blurred out. So there is something, there is an ill and a rot at Balenciaga that starts very high at the mm-hmm. top. They want to blame it on the photographers. The photographers don't get the props. They don't, like, it's not on them. They just shoot what you tell them to shoot. Like, they're, until this is rooted out, like, Kim should not be working with them. And them putting out an apology and, you know, oops, and next time it won't happen. Like, it's just once. But also here it wasn't even just once.
So it's like they release a statement, the photographer releases a statement, and every statement is just blaming someone else. But it's like, who? Who?
Yeah. No, like, they need to do a thorough investigation of their employees and their predilections.
No, and I have to say, like, Kim Gurley, like, you know, I would do anything for you, but, like, this is a huge L on your part. Like, you need to do way more. And, like, seriously, like, I'm kind of judging you, like, hard, honestly.
Yeah. I agree. And then I was over the collab to begin with, which also makes it easy. Like, it's not like I was a Balenciaga girly.
It was like a fabulous moment.
And yeah, it's not like I really own anything by them, but I don't care if it was Fendi. Like, not nary an item to be bought again until this evil is rooted out. Also, what I find kind of crazy is, like, when everything happened with Kanye and, like, everyone, like, dropped him in a succession, like, is The Real Real going to stop selling Balenciaga? Like, right. I'm going to need the same energy. I'm going to need the same energy from everyone who dropped Kanye, because this is fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like,
can Balenciaga no longer bank with Chase? Like,
I really feel like the lack of, if it weren't for people on social media, just regular people with moral compasses, like, no one would be talking about this. And it's so concerning because, like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, conspiracy theories about, like, elites in Hollywood and, like, celebrities and, like, as it comes, like that, all they do, there's, like, a lot of conspiracies about, like, pedophilia
and sex trafficking rings.
And I'm sorry, like, those conspiracy theories, like, are being hella validated right now because, like, the lack of anyone speaking out is so weird.
It's so weird. And I even saw an article. I haven't, like, looked so much to see what some of the, like Daily Mail has spoken about it and whatnot, but I saw an article from, like, High Snobiety. Have you seen, it's like a fashion site, I think.
High Snobiety, it's like, yeah.
High Snobiety. And it's like the conspiracy theory surrounding Balenciaga's new campaign. Like, and they said it was just, like, so crazy. They were like, people are trying to make it seem like the kids and the bears and the Supreme Court thing were part of one campaign. Like, this campaign is,
it makes it worse that it wasn't a part of the same campaign.
It makes it worse that it's just, like, sprinkled in over the years.
Right. It's, like, systemic.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a fucking delusional article.
Delusional.
No, the way, no one's okay. That's really, like,
no, and you know who it is, I feel like, who are really taking up the cause on social media? It's the mamas. Like, it's Lala Ken, it's Rach Parcell, who are, like, seeing this, and they're outraged.
No, it's so true. It's the moms.
And the aunties.
You don't even need to be a mom.
And the aunties.
100%. You don't need to be a mom to know how fucked up this is.
Right, and that's why I think people are even more disappointed in Kim.
Yeah, no, honestly, like, talking about this whole conversation as it pertains to Kim, like, she's really let us all down. Like, this is a huge, and if there are reasons why she can't speak out, why she can't break her contract, like, why don't you talk about it? Like, the way you're giving us this, like, PR bullshittery, shocked and disgusted. Like, it's giving Notes app. It was giving, she literally took a screenshot, like, on Instagram. Like, she didn't really put any energy towards it after 5 days. Like, I respect people taking their time and not just speaking out immediately. Like, I really do. But after you're going to take your time, I want to be wowed by your statement.
I want you to say something.
Yeah. To give us nothing burger PR bullshittery after 5 days. Honestly, I'm so kind of, like, done with Kim right now.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's not okay. And the fact that she's a mom just makes it even, like, she should be even more impassioned, and she's not.
Yeah. So the whole thing is really gross. And who knows what's next, but Balenciaga's. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 because it's like, if I owned a lot of Balenciaga, like, I'd want to sell it on The Real Real because also everything, like, says, like, I don't want to be like a walking advertisement for you. No. If it was like maybe like a subtle coat, you know, you never know. But I think The Real Real should stop selling them. So then where does everyone go dump their Balenciaga?
StockX.
It's the same thing. Does StockX still sell Yeezy?
For sure, because they're
it's their
that's
whole
how they
site.
Got started.
It's their whole site.
Yeah.
No, but it was like kind of crazy when Real Real even did that with Easy. So now you've set this standard.
Right. So let's get the child predators in there too.
Yep. You know what it's called, McLeod? Precedent.
You know, I love a good precedent.
Mm-hmm. And they set the precedent. So we'll keep you posted on this story. I don't think that's going to be the end of it.
No, no.
And I sure mean, hope not.
I hope not from the Kim point. Like, she girlie's got to do more. I never thought I'd say this unironically, but she has to do better.
No, like, it better's not even enough. She needs to do more. She needs to do something.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah. And I think Balenciaga filed a suit against their photographer, like, because they're trying to blame the person who took the pictures that they set it up.
Okay, but there's, like, 500 people who get everything done before the photographer even clicks his camera.
No, and there are people, like, there. I saw a video of this guy from the fashion industry, like, talking about how photographers are just take the picture, like,
right.
And also their most recent fashion show was kind of demonic, and it had like
now,
weird
now everything like that they've done in the last couple of years is being looked at, and it's like, why is everything you do so fucking weird and dark? It's clothes,
right?
Calm
and
down,
like, weird with kids. There was very lifelike dolls and blood. Oh, and the clothes were ugly,
right?
And the clothes just stay ugly.
Dead.
Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Switching gears. Joe Jonas lost the Spider-Man role to Andrew Garfield. He said he was the right one. So Joe was burning up to play Peter Parker in the 2012 movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, but he lost the role to Andrew Garfield. He said, quote, I remember years ago I was up for Spider-Man and I was so, so excited. And it was the year Andrew Garfield got it. Obviously, he was the right one. He noted that the film's director, Mark Webb, used to be a music video director, which led the Grammy nominee to believe that he had an in to get the role. Mm. He said, but you know what? I love the process of auditioning and putting yourself out there and having to prove yourself, he said, adding that he made it through to the callback portion of the audition process. As for whether that included taking the old Spidey suit for a spin, he replied, no, but I'm sure I had one that I would try on occasionally back in the day.
Let me tell you how I would take a bullet for Joe Jonas, and I don't think that he's right for Spider-Man.
No. And did he, aside from obviously Camp Rock, iconic role.
No, he's not really like that. He's in a new movie right now with Glenn Powell, Devotion, that like is getting a lot of buzz. It's like another like Top Gun, like plain Navy movie. Mm-hmm. But he's not really like that experienced in acting outside of the Disney Channel.
Right. So to go from Disney to Spider-Man, that would be a big
it's a jump. Actually, Zendaya did it.
So true.
But wait, I'm so glad you brought up the Jonas Brothers because I have like an extremely hot take that I need to share.
Okay.
On Thanksgiving, Ben had the Giants-Cowboys game on, and there was a halftime show, and the Jonas Brothers performed. I was like, oh, fuck yes, love this. And they did like a medley of all their songs. You know, Kevin was out there killing it on the guitar. Joe was taking lead vocals, and Nick was doing guitar and like 30% of the vocals. And maybe I haven't seen them perform in a long time, or maybe it was just like an off weekend for Nick Jonas. But like, if I watched that, well, I did watch that, but like, I could draw the conclusion that like Nick Jonas can no longer sing from that performance. Maybe he was sick. Maybe he's had a lot of late nights up with the baby. Like there's a million things. But the way he could not hit a note to save his fucking life. And you know him, he gets all the high notes because that's like his voice. Literally, he would sing and nothing would come out. It was like a silence on the mic. It was so weird. And then I went to Twitter to see if like anyone was talking about it. Because I'm like, this is like low-key crazy. Everyone was like, Nick Jonas is so fine. Oh my God, he's so fine. And a couple people were like, wait, like what's going on? But it wasn't. And I just want to know, did anyone else see that and be like, what the fuck?
We had the game on, but I think halftime show was while we were eating. I didn't even pay attention to it. So I can't speak to it. Maybe, is it possible he was having audio issues, like feedback, and he couldn't hear himself? And
perhaps. I'm going to need to see another performance from him to, like, I'm not going to make any, you know, grand assumptions. Statements. But if I wanted to, my assumption would be like, this boy can no longer sing. He should get into another field.
I'm going to say like there was issues.
Did anyone else see it? And did anyone else know what I'm talking about?
I'll maybe check it out. But I feel like, no, you're probably right. He probably stunk up the joint. But I don't know if that means that he can no longer sing in perpetuity.
it was just so crazy to me because, like, for years, like, Nick was the perfect one. Like, he hit every note. He was the most musically talented. And it was just the way, like, Joe was so effortless. Like, he wasn't even trying. It was just, like, sounding amazing. And, like, Nick was trying so hard. Like, his neck and his voice, like, sounded so strained. And he still couldn't even hit the note. Maybe he was sick.
Maybe.
I'm a sucker for you. That was good. That was, like, Nick Jonas vibe.
Maybe you could take his spot.
I don't wanna go anywhere blindly. All right, that wasn't great, but I'm a sucker for you. That was literally Nick. He's like always like clenching. Like, I'm a sucker for you.
So he's always clenching.
He's always like straining. Yeah. I'm a sucker for you.
Anyways, that's probably one of my favorite story tropes on this show is like people who almost got what role.
Me too. And usually I could like really picture the person in the role. I could honestly not see Joe Jonas as Spider-Man. Like, not to be rude, I do think he's a little too short.
But I get like short vibes from Andrew Garfield too.
And Tobey Maguire. But I think Joe Jonas is shorter than both of them. Like, for real.
Yeah. Also, this really could have changed the course of history because Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone then dated because they met on the set. They dated for a number of years after the movie. That wouldn't have happened. Maybe it would be Joe and Emma. Maybe.
Oh, wait. Wait. So, sorry, wait, I'm misunderstanding. So he auditioned, what, like 10 years ago?
Back in the day for this movie.
Oh, not for like the most recent one with Zendaya.
No, that's with Zendaya's mans.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got so confused for it because I've never seen any of these movies. Okay, sorry. So back in the day. Oh, you know what? I actually could see it.
Right, Joe and Emma Stone.
Yeah, no, and like, he was so young and like he was like the big hot thing. Like I could see it. I'm
and
sorry.
He likes
I
an totally actress. Thought it
was
like
last year. Yeah. And he was coming off of the Disney Channel. Now it's been 15 years since the Disney Channel. Like it's okay. You know what? I actually can see it. I'm sorry. I misunderstood the whole story.
Yeah. So just interesting. And then our next story is another one of my favorite tropes of stories, which is someone's coming off the singles list with an eligible partner.
Ooh, you'll have to wait to find out because we're going to. A word from our sponsor. Today's episode and our singles news is brought to you by Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Turns out everything you like that? Everything you think you know about probiotics may be wrong. Like probiotic tortilla chips definitely sounded way too good to be true. The good news is that Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic is the real deal because not all probiotics are created equal. So the Seed DS01 Daily Symbiotic is a broad spectrum plant-based prebiotic and 24 strain probiotic formulated for digestive, gut immune, and additional systemic benefits. The capsule in capsule protects against stomach acid, digestive enzymes, and bile salts for viability through digestion. What does that mean? The live probiotics are actually going to make it to the end of the small intestine for the delivery into the colon. So if you've taken a probiotic before and you never felt a difference, it's likely because the good bacteria wasn't surviving your GI tract. Seed is designed differently, and that's why it works. It supports benefits in and beyond the gut. It'll support the ease of bloating, healthy regularity, ease of evacuation, so you'll be making nice, big, soft duties, BSDs, as we like to call them here at The Toast. And a lot of people see improvements in digestion within just 24 to 48 hours, which can include bowel movement regularity and ease of bloating. So you can start a new healthy habit today when you visit seed.com/toast. Use code TOAST to redeem 20% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. It's seed.com/toast and use code TOAST, that's SEED.com/TOAST, code TOAST for 20% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic.
Thank you, McClard. That BSD sponsor is leading us into our next story, which is that Minka Kelly sparked romance rumors after an LA date night with Imagine Dragons' Dan Reynolds. Looks like Minka Kelly could be a believer in love again. The actress is sparking romance rumors with the Imagine Dragons frontman after the two were spotted on a date night in LA over the weekend. Paparazzi photographed the two of them stepping out to Cafe Stella in the Silver Lake neighborhood Saturday night. Although there was no blatant PDA between the pair in the pics obtained by Page Six, he was at one point seen stroking her hair in their parked car.
Stop. Minka Kelly, like, was just born under a lucky star. Like, I really believe that. First of all, she's one of the most beautiful women, like, I've ever come across in my life. She doesn't look like anyone else. She's really unique looking.
She looks like other, like,
there's Leighton a bunch Meester.
Of, yeah, there's a bunch of girls who look like.
But, like, she, I'm saying she's not, like, beautiful. Like, women now, like, who are beautiful and, like, get big lips, like, they all look the same.
Yes, okay.
like Minka Kelly like actually looks like a human being, not like an alien like everyone does these days. Mm-hmm. She is the most.
You think she has veneers?
Yes.
Let me look
she
at her.
She is the most. No, don't look at her veneers. Look up who she's dated in the past. She is the most stellar taste in men. Like every time she's spotted out with someone, it's just like more. She was with Derek Jeter, right? For like a million years.
Yes. McLeod, I don't think she has veneers.
Oh, let me look. They look like real teeth.
Yeah, but
they look like. That's the thing. Like really good veneers look like real teeth.
No, they look like real teeth for sure.
There's this dentist on TikTok who will like take a picture of a celebrity and like zoom in and tell you if they have veneers. And it's actually really helpful. Can you pull up her dating history?
Okay. Not her teeth?
No, I'm looking at the teeth now. I feel like they're definitely veneers. They're totally veneers.
Maybe I was looking at old pics. Okay. She dated Jesse Williams, Josh Radnor, Wilmer Valderrama, Derek Jeter.
Right.
John Mayer.
Oh, right.
Chris Evans, Donald Faison, Brian White. Trevor Noah.
Right.
But when did she date John Mayer?
I think there's like one photo of them like getting into a Range Rover like one time. And maybe it's like this connection I have to Friday Night Lights, in particular Lila Garrity, which is why I'm so like, I will always keep up with Minka Kelly. And she's so funny because like, does she ever work? Like she was in Euphoria, but like as a very, very small part. And she's like still so famous, but like from what? From Friday Night Lights.
From literally. Friday Night Lights. She's just someone that people care about. She was also in a 2018 movie, The Beach House, which I personally watched. Andie MacDowell plays her mother. It's a wonderful movie.
Oh, is it like a Hallmark film?
Yeah, it's Hallmarky. And she's extremely Hallmarky. And I feel like she could be more Hallmarky.
I feel like she had an opportunity after Friday Night Lights to literally become America's sweetheart. And either she didn't want it or like it didn't happen for her, because when I think about the trajectory of her career, like it kind of makes no fucking sense.
Wait, and remember when she played Jackie O in The Butler?
No.
We watched The Butler, remember?
I remember.
And there's just like a scene with JFK played by James Marsden and Jackie O played by Minka Kelly.
No, I don't remember that, but it's a perfect casting in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would love to do, like, I would love an in-depth timeline of Minka Kelly's career. And, like, where things went wrong. You know what I mean?
Or maybe she just chose to do less to keep her sense of normalcy and just, like, be one of these celebrities who can, like, you know, get paid
to
be at the grocery store holding a certain bottle of juice and still have her sanity.
No, that would be really impressive. But I just think, like, and it's possible that that's what she wanted. Or I just feel like something went wrong in her career. Because, like, Lila Garrity, like, the way I think millions of girls wanted to grow up and be Lila Garrity, she really was, like, America's sweetheart.
But don't you also kind of feel that way about a lot of like, teen idols? Like, even, like, Leighton Meester, even though she was in Country Strong. But I also, like...
I would say Leighton Meester is, like, way more famous than Minka Kelly.
Really?
Yeah, would you not?
I would say they're, like, the same.
No, I would say, like, the way I perceive it is, like, Leighton Meester got so famous off of Gossip Girl, like, did the things for a few years, and then, like, is so famous that she had to take a step back. Like, I don't think that was the case for Minka Kelly. Like, Leighton Meester really is, like, nowhere to be seen, but she's still so famous. But I also think Gossip Girl was a bigger show than Friday Night Lights.
No, we just watched Gossip Girl when it was on, and we didn't watch Friday Night Lights until later in life. At least me. Mm.
No, I watched it when I was in, like, the seventh grade. No.
No, it's not something that we watched in our family. I watched it, like, with Zach.
No, I watched it in the eighth grade.
You did?
I can't, but I remember. I had a portable DVD player.
Oh, look at you. Humble brag.
I love that song. Humble yeah, brag. I did have a portable DVD player. Show Actually, off. Everyone did. Like, it was so fun. Like, everyone at night, like, wouldn't talk to each other. We'd all just be, like, on our portable DVD players.
Good times.
Anyways, were the best nights.
She's dating Imagine Dragons frontman, which you love to see it.
So I didn't even then get to say my thoughts on Imagine Dragon frontman, who's literally the hottest man who's ever walked the planet. I've actually ended up on a side of TikTok, like Imagine Dragon's stand-up, and there's just like really premium videos. He never performs with a shirt on. He's so fucking hot. And the band is just like huge, but he's not like, you know, he's not like an Adam Levine. Like, he has to be like the face, you know?
No, like, he hasn't like sold out either. I feel like they make real music and it's hit after hit, but they don't make it for the hits and they don't make it for the radio. They make it because they're a rock
band. They love it. No, they seem really grounded as a band. And he seems like he's not like this asshole who's like the lead singer. And therefore, it's not like Josie and the Pussycats, you know? I like love this man. And he's, I never even hear about who he's dating. So much. I actually thought he was gay because I think I saw somewhere like that he was wearing a
pride
like
a flag.
Yeah, but I guess he's just an ally. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like love this.
Yeah, loving it as well. Also, you know that he's like down to earth guy because I personally didn't know who the lead singer of Imagine Dragons was because it's really an ensemble. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, like Marcus Mumford, Mumford and Sons, you know, Ryan Tedder, One Republic, like some guys, they make themselves known. I just feel like he does it for the love of the art.
Okay, I did know, like, his name and his face and everything, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm not as tuned in as you. No. I'm not plugged in.
Maybe if you had a TikTok that you were passionate about, you would know, but you don't.
No, Annie, don't, and I don't.
No, you don't.
No, I do not. How are things going on TikTok? What's new?
I actually really wasn't really on TikTok a lot this weekend. I was just kind of, like, enjoying the presence of my, you know, friends and family.
That's so beautiful. How's your book going? What are you reading still? The Idea of You?
It's so disgusting.
Yuck.
Like, she's having sex with a guy who's 20 years old. She's 40. And she keeps calling her my sweet... She keeps calling him my sweet boy. And it's kind of fucking disgusting. Like, I'm getting so icked out, like, by this book. And it's, like, all about, you know, a woman in her 40s reclaiming her sexuality after divorce. But, like, it's also giving, like, a little pedophilia.
For sure, because if the roles were reversed and it was a 40-year-old man and a 20-year-old girl, we would say, yuck.
And he kept calling her my sweet girl.
Yuck.
No, she's kind of disgusting, Solène. So, like, I can't even get through the book. It's really twisted. I can't believe people, like this book.
Ew. Well, how far along are you?
Like 40%.
It's too late to turn back.
I know.
Especially with the end of the year creeping up on us.
I know. Even though I already hit my goal. My goal was 35. I hit it. And my goal was 50. And then I hit it again.
Right. But now you just, like, keep setting new goals. So is your new goal 60? You could do
it. No, my goal was 50.
Oh, okay. So you're done.
Yeah.
My goal was 30 and I hit it. I think I'm at 38 now. So now my goal is 40. I will hit that because I'm almost done with this book and then I have to read The Redheads. So I don't think I could read.
I think you could.
Get to what? 50?
50.
I could just because like we're going on vacation and maybe it depends. It depends what Harry wants to do on vacation, you know?
Yeah, what Harry wants, Harry gets.
Yeah, so it might not leave a little too much reading time for mom.
Yeah.
Okay, next story. Are you ready?
Yep.
Andy Cohen says Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is taking a break. He teases the Bravo plans for 2023. Andy Cohen revealed that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills will be on hold for a minute. He said, Beverly Hills, we're taking a minute break, and then we'll be back shooting with them in the new year. He did not go into detail as to why the LA-based reality show is not following their usual programming schedule. He also did not comment on which Housewives may be back for the next season. So they will start filming again in the new year, which isn't that long of a break. It's not like a Roni-sized break. It is longer than we're used to from Beverly Hills. They usually start filming right after the reunion, so they got like at least 3 months off, which is really nice for them and I think necessary. And I think also they're delaying making any decisions.
Right. I mean, I do feel like it's really like odd. Because if it's such a short delay, like, why do they have to make an announcement, you know?
Maybe because there was all these rumors floating around. And so maybe he's just addressing it. And they really are breaking for a minute. And then they'll be back.
I mean, the most recent season of Beverly Hills was good. I just, like, I feel like Housewives are, like, in their flop era. Like, I don't know what, I feel like this is, like, a transitional period for Housewives, like, with the Roni reboot and now Beverly Hills being on a break. I feel like the fate of Housewives is, like, very much up in the air. Like, people will always watch it, but it's not really as much of, like, a cultural, like, moment as it was 5 years ago.
I would agree, except I felt like there was so much excitement for BravoCon and the Housewives. Yes. And the way I'm feeling now when I think about it is I feel like it's becoming very fractured and extreme. Like, there's less casual viewers, people who tune it on, who just enjoy it. Like, either, like, you're diehard, you run a fan account, you're going to BravoCon, you're obsessed, or you're really over it.
Like a former watcher. That's actually a really, really good point.
There's not a lot of, like, middle ground. People who see every episode but don't have a podcast about it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I do also think that the Jen Shah Salt Lake City scandal, like, really was an opportunity to, like, revitalize the entire franchise. And, like, the way the ball was so dropped, like, now that I think about it, like, whatever footage we have of this season, whatever, it fucking sucks. We're probably not gonna film with Jen. She's going to jail and her sentencing is next month. Mm-hmm. So, like, that probably is the end of it. Unless they'll do, like, a special, like, in her house or something.
Yeah, they'll probably do a special. But I think for a lot of the viewers, too, and maybe this, I've not seen, like, people saying this, but maybe it's sort of subconscious where it's like, after everything with Erica and with Jen, and there's, and they just, like, keep promoting people. Like, it's just gotten really twisted. Icky. And there's a lot of bad things that go on and come out of the show, and it's just, I think, leaves people with, like, a funny feeling, and maybe, like, I mean, don't want me to support
this. Definitely how I felt about Garcelle. Maybe I'm just, like, really protective of Garcelle, but, like, the way her kids were, like, so attacked, and they're, like, actual minors, it felt, like, so gross. I'm like, this,
yeah, and, like, nothing is worth that.
No,
it's just
right,
a show.
Totally, it's just a show. Like, everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah, so I feel like that's what's happening. It's just becoming fractured and extreme.
Yeah, it's just an interesting moment in the Bravo universe.
And I feel like they can feel it, and they're really trying to, like, do something about it.
And yeah, I feel like they definitely are, like, doing more shows that, like, are outside of Housewives. Like, there's, like, a million Below Decks
now. But
they're
also, like, trying to, like, give the fans what they think that they want, which is, like, you know, Southern Hospitality, Ultimate Girls Trips. We have, like, a million Ultimate Girls Trips that are still going to come out. And, like,
right.
But they're really just, like, catering to, like, the really extreme fan who needs more, 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 and not working on just, like, the casual viewer who wants to just watch good episodes of what they start, of Real Housewives of Orange County, of Beverly Hills, you know? So that's, I don't know that what they're doing is going to solve the problem, but, well, I don't work in television.
No, and I also feel like Peacock was, like, kind of, like, a bad thing for Bravo, because there was just this, like, pressure for more content when they really should have been focusing on the shows on Bravo, because they were all kind of slipping, like Vanderpump Rules, like, so many things were just, like, meh. And then they just had to, like, keep churning out more content. So they're finally giving us, I mean, we've been asking for years for some sort of crossover episodes, like an All-Stars Housewives, and now they're doing it. It's just, like, feels kind of forced.
Yeah, and I feel like they're the only people who are going to watch, like, an Ultimate Girls Trip or something like that are the people who watch all of the franchises right now. So you're already, like, having less.
Limited.
Less audience. And it just, like, keeps getting smaller instead of expanding. You're not going to watch Ultimate Girls Trip if you don't watch the regular franchises. Yeah. But you might watch a show that has some of the OGs who aren't on anymore, because a lot of people used to watch in those days. And I think that's what they tried with Berkshires. I don't know how that did.
Right. And we think of those women fondly. Like, they really are a part of history.
Yeah. So I think they try and do more of that. But I think some of those women, like, don't want to be on the B-list show. They want to get back on their show, or they're not interested.
Right. Because they are all also out of control.
Yeah. And also the egos that they're dealing. Like, it's a lot.
It's unbearable.
Yeah.
You either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
The final story. Yeah, I'm ready. What's it all about?
Merriam-Webster define gaslighting for me, because they have shared their 2022 word of the year, and it is gaslighting.
I feel like we literally predicted this, because not a month ago we had this long-ass conversation on the toast about how people love to use the word gaslighting these days, and they don't even know what it fucking means. They just think it means lying.
Literally. Gaslighting, which means mind manipulating, grossly misleading, when being downright deceitful, is Merriam-Webster's word of the year. Lookups for the word on Merriam-Webster.com increased 1,740% in 2022, wow, over the year before, but something else happened. There wasn't a single event that drove significant spikes in the curiosity, as it usually goes with the chosen word of the year. That's pretty interesting. The gaslighting was pervasive. That's funny.
I do really feel like TikTok had a lot to do with that, because, like, the way that, first of all, that sound, like, took over. Girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep, repeat. Like, it was very much a part of, like, TikTok verbiage. And then I think people started using it, like, in their everyday lives, even though they didn't really even know what it meant.
Yes, definitely. Now we're going to talk about the former words of the year, which we do every year, and I always forget them. So,
me too.
Do you remember last year's?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This isn't last year. This is the other top 10 words of the year.
Oh, for this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Oligarch.
What?
Driven by Russia invading Ukraine. People were talking about oligarchs a lot.
Okay.
Omicron,
triggered. Oh my God, I'm triggered. Next.
Codify.
Hmm.
Queen consort. That's two words.
Oh, Camilla, yeah.
Raid. Sentient. Cancel culture.
That's Merriam-Webster's like kind of cringe.
Merriam's kind of dumb.
No, Merriam's like a little cringe. Like, is it the word of the year or the phrase of the year?
It's the, I'm going to get the exact verbiage, word.
Mm.
Word.
Merriam-Webster, define word for me.
Next in the top 10, LGBTQIA.
Okay.
I don't believe that's a word. That's an acronym.
Oh my God. Good call. Duh.
And the next one is Lomi, which many Wordle users tried back in August, though the right word that day was clown. I guess that was like a Wordle inside joke one day in August.
Funny. People need a fucking life.
Also, last year's word was vaccine.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I like how it went from vaccine to gaslight. Like, funny. If that ain't indicative, like, of America.
If that
like,
ain't where us. Our
well, that's our literal, like, prerogative? Is that the word? That should be the word.
Prerogative.
That's my prerogative. Tell me why. The way Britney Spears, I think, covered that song. I don't think it's her song. And just kind of changed my life. What album was that where she did Stronger Than Yesterday? And then That's My Prerogative. Tell me why.
Are you sure like that those are... Oh my God, Spotify is like always asking me for shit. Like, fuck
I off. Have just like a memory of like plugging in one CD and getting both those songs on one album.
Okay, so I will read her CDs. In the Zone...
No. Get in the Zone. Auto Zone.
Okay, wait. Yeah, no, not In the Zone. Hold on. Blackout?
Just Google.
No.
Just Google what album Stronger Than Yesterday is on.
Okay.
Oh my God. You're like the worst research assistant ever.
Oh my God. Oops, I Did It Again album.
Okay, and is Prerogative on there?
No.
Damn, not me gaslighting my own self with my memories. That's literally my adult existence.
Not like, you gaslighting your research assistant.
I don't think I gaslight you. I insulted you, but I didn't gaslight you.
I think you vaccinated me.
100%. So those were the past five, and you certainly needed to know all of them.
You needed to know them, but like, I'm really like tired of Merriam-Webster like being so thirsty. Like, give us a word, any word. Give us a real word. I mean, I guess they're just trying to like let everyone know what the vibe was this year.
Yeah, no, but this sounds like most like popular Google searches, not words.
Right, and it's like, okay, so that should be Google's year in review.
Yeah, not Merriam like stepping on Google's toes.
Not Merriam gaslighting Google
into getting the vaccine
by an oligarch
who's LGBTQIA. We still have the TV recap, Yellowstone and White Lotus, and it is brought to you by a new sponsor today that we're really excited about. Don't go nuts this holiday season. Fuel yourself with Perfect Bar, the original refrigerated protein bar. Made with freshly ground nut butter, organic honey, and 20 organic superfoods, Perfect Bar has a variety of products like protein bars, little snack size bars that are all so good and good for you. You are sure to find something you love, probably the dark chocolate chip peanut butter one that I have in my fridge that is so good. You know, I don't really eat protein bars. Like, it's not usually something I go for, but these are delicious.
Delicious.
They have a cookie dough texture that's creamy, full of flavor, unlike any other bars out there. And now they come in snack size that are packed with up to 6 grams of proteins and 150 calories, so a little goes a long way. Perfect Bar knows it will be love at first bite, so for a limited time, they're offering you a chance to try their refrigerated protein bars for free. Here's how it works. Sign up for email or text, upload a picture of your receipt from your local grocery store, and they'll reimburse you for the cost of one bar directly into your Venmo or PayPal account. Pretty cool, right? All you have to do is go to perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. That's perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. Happy snacking. I just have to say, like, until I got Perfect Bars and I realized that like a lot of the bars that I have in my house are not refrigerated. Like that's kind of gross.
It never occurred to me. I'm so glad that we have this read today. I've been waiting for it ever since I got my Perfect Bars. I love a meal replacement bar. I love a snack bar. Mm-hmm. I love the Perfect Bars snack bars in particular because they're really small and they're snack sized, obviously, but they're so packed. Like it takes me actually, like it's not just like I eat it in one bite, like it's rich and it's nutrient dense and it's really the perfect thing to take with you on the go when you don't need a meal replacement, you just need a hearty snack. Also, they're fucking tasty, which not all bars are, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So Perfect Bars, they're fucking tasty.
Do you want to do White Lotus or Yellowstone first?
Let's rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Okay, and the winner goes first.
Yeah. The winner gets to choose.
Oh, okay. But you, okay.
So it's, you go rock, paper, scissors, says.
Shoot.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, says, shoot. Gotcha. Ooh,
Jackie won.
Okay, I'll go first. Sure.
Bye.
Sure. Bye. I kind of love doing these recaps separately. Oh, she took her headphones off.
What'd you say? You kind of love doing recaps alone so you could finally talk?
One, yes, I get to talk. And two, it's just like a fun exercise.
I have the best time, girly. Love you. Just know we have 20 more minutes left on our SD cards.
Okay, like, it won't be 20 minutes. Yeah.
I know. Love you.
Love you. Bye. Okay, Yellowstone, another wonderful episode from our favorite people. Also, okay, this is really random, but you know how during Yellowstone they use it to promote all their other shows that are coming up because Yellowstone is the most watched show in America. So they're promoting Tulsa King and they're promoting 1923, which by the way, I'm so excited about 1923. The casting is amazing. Michelle Randolph, like, I'm not okay. But I find, this is so random, the volume on those commercials is obscene. Like, I watch Yellowstone at a normal volume, plus it's on late at night. Harry's already sleeping. Like, I keep it low and I watch the subtitles. And then those commercials come on and they bust through the speakers. Does anyone else notice that or is that just a me problem? Also, the commercials for 1923 made me realize I need to finish watching 1886. I think I have a few episodes left. I just, like, lost patience because I was watching week to week. Back to Yellowstone. So many great moments, such a wonderful show, even when nothing's happening. Beth is in prison. I was shook to the core when I found out her name was Bethany. Like, makes total sense, but wasn't expecting that. But as stated, I'm not a Bethany, I'm a Beth. Then for her to find out that Jamie has a kid with his little Graco car seat, now that I'm in the market for car seats and just like up on these things, I thought, like, oh, that looks like a nice car seat. Obviously, Beth has a conniption when she knows that Jamie had a baby. It was so sad when she was like, God gave you a boy. I couldn't. And I was already, like, feeling warmly towards Jamie because he got Beth out. He really does his thing as an attorney. You know, I thought he was going to try and, like, get this girl to press charges just to fuck with Beth just because Beth is always fucking with him. But no, he did right by his sis. He made a lot of sense as a lawyer, and he totally intimidated that woman into not pressing charges, which is bad behavior in general, but it's good on Yellowstone where we just want the Duttons to stay winning. So that was nice that Beth got out. It was a fun whole thing. But did anyone else? Okay, I don't know if I was being gaslit by Yellowstone. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention last week because I never heard what that whore said to Beth. In the preview for last week, they showed us, like, in the recap of last week's episode, they showed us her saying, like, I'm taking your husband home with me tonight. But I never heard that in last week's episode. And then Jamie recounted exactly what the woman said. And she was like, you can either join us or he could tell you about it tomorrow. And I was like, I never heard any of this. But now I understand why Beth smashed her with a beer bottle. I just thought she was, like, antagonizing Beth a little bit. But no, she, like, was saying some wild fucking shit to a wild fucking woman. And listen, you fuck around and you find out if that ain't the motto of Yellowstone. So Beth goes home, happy to see her home with her mains. This wolf drama is no good. The NGOs are coming for John. And of course, I realized in that instant that he would pardon his girlie, who looks like Piper Perabo. Is it Piper Perabo? I don't think so, but looks like her. And it's giving Piper Perabo. I should probably check that, but then Claudia's going to be watching me do my recap, being like, what the fuck is you doing? Let me just look. Piper Perabo. Let's see if Yellowstone comes up. Yeah, it does. Yep, it is Piper Perabo. Great, because it looked like her. So she's back with John in his bed, even though she literally said she would not be sleeping with him. And so I'm assuming that she is because she was like running around in the middle of the night. But I'm glad I kind of shipped those two. And he needs someone on his side who's going to help him. Like, I love that he's cleaning house, but he also needs to do the work of the governor. And he needs smart people around him. And she does seem smart. Wow, Claudia is struggling to keep her mouth shut. And then there was one other thing that happened. Oh, the funeral. Oh my God, I can't even talk about it. Like, I was beside myself. It was so fucking sad. So I'm just gonna move right past that and talk about the one last thing, which was Jamie being a big fat moron and getting seduced in 1 second by brunette Beth Dutton. I think her name is Sarah Atwood. Loving that Beth was in the present. She's gonna do some investigation. So this woman's not gonna make it that far into coming in between the Dutton family. But Jamie is just so fucking dumb. I literally can't. Someone says one thing nice to him and he's dropping his pants. Like, get a life, loser. Okay, we're good. See you guys next week.
Okay, like, my recap is not going to be as long as yours because, like, low-key, like, nothing fucking happens on this
show.
No,
and you know? Also, I was also talking about, like, I don't know if this is just a me thing, but the volume of the commercials versus the volume of the show is so different. Oh, it blows out my speakers. And, like, Harry's sleeping in the next room and they're playing Tulsa King right. at an insane decibel.
Well, I'm on HBO, so we don't get commercials.
Right. I was just wondering if anybody else was experiencing that.
That's interesting. I'm curious to hear if anyone has that problem.
Okay, enjoy. Bye.
I'll be quick. So obviously the only thing everyone is talking about from White Lotus last night is like that hot guy who looks just like Harry Jowsey is fucking his uncle. And I just really feel like I didn't need to know that. And I definitely didn't need to see the uncle fucking his nephew. Like, it was a little gross. Having said that, it was a decent episode. Obviously, like, Aubrey Plaza is like becoming unhinged. Oh, wait. Oh, I just saw like something on TikTok that really blew my mind because... So, you know that scene where, you know, after the winery and like Aubrey Plaza is just like being kind of nuts all week, all day, she tells Daphne that like she thinks something happened. And Daphne's like, listen, I have a trainer, yada, yada. And she goes to show her a picture of the trainer, but she instead shows a picture of her kids. So I thought she was just like asserting her dominance, being like, listen, fuck off. Like, mind your own business. We're a family. I'll take care of it. But then somebody else was saying, she basically said, I have a trainer and, you know, whenever I am in New York, yada, yada. Basically, like, she fucks her trainer and he's blonde with blue eyes. Then she showed a picture of her kids and her older kid was blonde with blue eyes. So people on TikTok were saying that, like, her trainer is the father of their oldest kid. She was the one who cheated first. So, like, she knows what she's doing. She's not so dumb, that Daphne. I don't know. I didn't really think anything of that conversation until I saw it on TikTok. And now it makes a lot of sense. So I just wanted to share that little nugget of information in case anybody was confused as well. The hookers are really bothering me. And I don't understand why the guy who let them into the hotel and added them to his room doesn't just remove them from his room. Like, he's mad that they're charging food, that they're going into the son's room, that they're going into the dad's room. Okay, Sarah, why don't you go tell Valentina at the front desk to fucking take them off your guest room, your reservation? Like, it's so easy. They are really pissing me off because she's obviously gaslighting that young boy. She's going to steal money from him. Theo James needs to pay the hooker so that the hooker can go. The hookers are just really annoying me. I actually don't even think that hooker's voice is that good. Like, when she wants to play piano, I'm like, she low-key sucks. Bring back the other guy who took Viagra. What else happened in the episode? Oh, and then Jennifer Coolidge and her assistant went to that guy's house in wherever it was, Palermo. And they are definitely nefarious, obviously because he was fucking his niece, a nephew, but also because I feel like they're, I don't know what it is, but like they want something from Jennifer Coolidge. Like, they're making fun of her. I think they maybe need money. I don't know. So I'm just not happy about that because they're taking advantage of Jennifer Coolidge when she's in a vulnerable position. Other than that, the show really needs to be watched in a binge-like setting because like every episode one thing happening is just like not going to work for me. I don't know who dies. I feel like at this point it's useless to speculate. Like, we'll find out when we find out. But we know it's not Daphne because she's the one who discovers a body. But she is alone on the beach when she discovers a body and three people die. So maybe it's like her fucked up foursome. Oh yeah, because Theo James is like rubbing Aubrey Plaza's leg and like definitely wants to fuck. So like maybe they're gonna have a foursome because it's a very tense group. They really just need to fuck it out, in my opinion. Other than that, that's all I have. Why does nobody ever leave the hotel? Like, you're in Sicily. Like, go on a walking tour. I feel like everyone eats every meal at the hotel, is constantly spending every night at the hotel. Like, go out. Okay, I'm good. Jax is back. That was the TV recap. And that was our show, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was our show. I don't see anyone else in the building.
Laying claim.
Who would? Who could?
No. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast, and leave a five-star review about how wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow on Tuesday.
Goodbye, because that's how the days of the week work.
That is how the days of the week work. Yes, thank you.
Love ya. Bye.